Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for December 29th, 2012. And we're going to do a wrap for the year, a review of 2012, and a preview of 2013 today. And I'm going to be going through a presentation I've worked on for some time. I've given a little thought to this. I hope you appreciate it. It's a multimedia presentation for those of you who go to the Cosmic Love website. You will see this headline for the show, Review of 2012, Preview of 2013. And you can click on that to get graphics as I go through this. It's kind of like a reading I'll be doing today. And it'll have graphics, so it's like a multimedia presentation in that way. If you want to, if you're able to do that, pull up another screen in your browser and pull up my homepage for Cosmic Love. Those who are listening to this in the future, you will have the link also that you can go through the graphics of this as I'm giving the presentation in the archives. And for those who are listening, you can until the 20th of January, this is my year-end gift, you might say, for those who love Cosmic Love, you'll be able to listen to the archives of the show, all the archives of the last 5 years, for free. And the way you do that is that you go to the archives, and when it asks for your username, you just put in free, and when it asks for your password, you put in pass, and that's good to until the 20th. So that will give you more information than you want. And as for today, I'm going to be going into the big picture from Cosmic Love, or at least from the host of Cosmic Love, as I understand it. And whether you think 2012 was great or terrible, or more likely a mixed bag of good and bad, hold on to your hat, because winds of change are transforming Mothership Earth in 2013. I'm going to go into two aspects of this, the geophysical front and the geopolitical front, and begin with the geophysical front. 2012 saw a greater wobble in the Earth, with extreme swings in the jet stream and extreme shifts in the weather and an uptick in earthquakes and volcanism globally, which are all likely to increase in 2013. And if you're following the copy in the article I've provided, there's a graphic, a really good graphic of what's going on with the jet stream with the Earth wobble. You can see that. And, of course, the jet stream influences the weather, and it explains why there are extremes of weather, summer-like weather in the winter and winter-like weather in the summer. And there's reports of this all over the world. Those who follow the global news of what's going on with weather patterns, it's extremely, you might say, fluctuating. And with this, there is also increase in the tectonic plate movements on the Earth, more earthquakes, volcanism, etc. And 2012, there were far more pictures of the moons in the Planet X complex as it swings around Venus in its flyby trajectory near Earth with an electromagnetic field that Planet X has about 18 times stronger than that of Earth. And this is what's causing the Earth to wobble. Now, there's a lot of documentation on that. I provide links in the article where you can read more about the Planet X complex and what's going on with its flyby and how it's affecting the electromagnetics of Earth, the wobble of the Earth, and, of course, the weather of Earth and everything else. I've also include graphics there in the copy I've included, graphics of Planet X with the moons, the moon swirls, more than 100 pictures, a video. There's a link to more than 100 pictures. Actually, hundreds of pictures, and you can see, watch a video that gives more documentation of it from the SOHO satellite and the TESS satellite, the Russian satellite, that have been captured from Earth, and it's interesting reading. So basically, the message here is that the light reflected off the moons and the space debris around around this Nibiru Planet X complex blends together to cause, you know, these are the images that we're getting that's referred to as a moon swirl. And with this, the flyby of Planet X, we can expect the likelihood of more Earth effects, Earth changes. And you might say it's time to raise the shields, Scotty, because the electromagnetic shields of Earth are interdependent with the morphogenic grid of consciousness on Earth. And this dynamic is something I've been writing a lot about this last year on my website regarding the source field, the unified quantum field of energetics of our solar system as it relates to the universe, specifically our galaxy and the crossing of our solar system with the precession of the equinox across the galactic plane. And my last several articles have dealt with that. For those who follow the science and the understanding of the science of quantum source field, the quantum energy field, this you might say ocean of vibrational actuality that we subjugate as reality. So in 2013, we can expect more of the same more Earth changes or not, depending on the shift dynamics in the Earth's EM fields, the electromagnetic fields, and Earth's EM shield, which is the morphogenic field known as the source field, or just the field, that is either the positive polarity of unity conscience that stabilizes Earth's morphogenic grids. You know, the unity conscience is a function of heart coherence with the heart of source, or the source field. And there's a harmonic in the collective consciousness of humanity that resonates with the harmonics of the morphogenic field, the source field. This may sound kind of abstract, and I'm going through it, you know, kind of shorthand here, but this is what I've explained in great detail in articles over the last several months in particular. So the field, the positive polarity of unity conscience in the collective, some say unconscious, of global humanity, what's in the field either stabilizes Earth's morphogenic grids, or there's a sick negative polarity of collective human insanity that will destabilize Earth's morphic grids. How this is going to play out is not known. You know, I'm not giving any hard and fast prediction of what's going to happen, because mankind has free will and anything is possible. You know, people can wake up individually and collectively, and it changes things. The Native Americans and Native indigenous peoples all over the world have known that their prayers can affect the weather. And in the same way, the collective prayer field of global humanity can turn back to source, you might say, and the heart coherence with source that really has that pure intention to, you know, basically resonate with the heart of source, the heart of creation, as co-creators in the field. So there is a propensity of mankind to have the type of self-destructive, violence to sentient life that characterizes, you might say, the pathological paradigm paralysis that profits from war, disease, and death on Earth. And that is really what's coming to an end one way or the other. Heaven knows that humanity's collective judgment is ordained for this time, one way or the other. Now, again, I'm not saying exactly what's going to happen. It's a very unique time. Sometimes it takes a real serious difficulty before people Until there's challenges, sometimes people take life for granted, and life as we've known it, when we need to change. And obviously, global humanity needs to get our act together with, you know, beyond war, beyond the momentums of profiteering from war, disease, and death and hell on Earth. Obviously, that's old paradigm stuff that is really, you know, at a turning point. And I really believe there's been a big turning in 2012, and there is an awakening with masses of people worldwide that realize there's got to be a better way to, you know, to either we all hang together or we're going to hang separately kind of a thing. So either we get our act together as united sovereigns, you might say, the family of man in a global village of harmony, or the flyby of the PX complex will be a bumpy ride. Now, that, to me, is a safe statement. In other words, either we unite along more enlightened lines of universal love with heart coherence, you might say coherence with source, in resonance with the heart frequencies of the unified quantum source field, or our collective misqualified morphic field energies of E-veil, the energy veil, will magnetize or otherwise attract our worst fears of the judgment. So this is that's a selective judgment for each and all souls who naturally go to where they are coming from in the larger scheme of conscious soul evolution. You know, our lives here are just a blip in the larger scheme of things. This is the test that's best. It doesn't get any better than this in this dense octave of incarnation, you know, that we have opportunity to learn and grow in service to others. And the service to self thing only goes so far in the conscious evolution scheme of things. So I've talked about this in other shows and how there has been a surge in the source field, the quantum energy fields of Earth, as Earth is passing up and through the photon belt of the galactic plane of hundreds of billions of star systems in our Milky Way galaxy, and it crosses up and across it in a sine wave curve over a 25,800-year period, the precession of the equinoxes. And the 12 ages are a function of that rise and fall and rise back up across the galactic plane, sometimes called the galactic equator, as our solar system, orbits around the galaxy in its 225 million year cycle. So it's going around, our solar system goes around, orbits around in this up and across, you know, the galactic plane every 25,800 years. And it does that continually as it's orbiting around the great central sun of our Milky Way galaxy. And there's about a 2,000-year period that it crosses the galactic plane. And this is the age of Aquarius that we're coming into now, the age of freedom and love, as is well known to those that are into the mysteries of astrology, psychology, and as above, so below on Earth, as it is in cosmos at large. So on the geopolitical front, there's interesting stuff going on now because the old paradigm of Pisces and the misqualified energies of Pisces, you might say, have their own momentum that are up for transmutation as they hit the wall of the Aquarian dispensation, which is freedom and love. So all that is less than freedom and love is up for transmutation, you might say. It's like the symptoms of dis-ease in the body politic of our collective consciousness. The symptoms are on the surface, and you're seeing that with all kinds of crazy politics. So on the geopolitical front, 2013 will remember 2012 as the turning point. This is the way I'm seeing it going, that things are going to basically surface. like corks that we push under the surface that bob back up, in the collective conscience of global humanity, at this point there's an awakening. And this is because of the instant, everywhere, interactive, internet-connected revolution in the last 15 years that has created a simul-sensory a connection in the collective consciousness of humanity. There is the capability to be the family of man in a global village. And those there's an increasing percentage of people, approximately, I've arrived at the number of about, from multiple sources, about 90% of netizens, global citizens, who are all connected with the instant, everywhere, interactive internet. They get it at heart, even if unspoken, that there's this new sense of connection with not just the family of man, but all sentient life and Mother Earth as a sentient whole, you know, as a sentient being, you know, that there is a, some people call it Gaia consciousness, some people call it unity consciousness, that, you know, this mothership of Earth is really, you know, going through space, and it has its own agenda. It has, you know, for recreation, for healing, for wholeness, for balance. So a lot more people now worldwide who are really connected with the new social conscience and social networks are waking up to this, you know, we really need to get our act together. We, as the United Sovereigns of Earth, who want peace rather than war, we want, you know, health rather than disease, and we want more opportunity rather than more austerity. And so that's, you know, most people want that. You know, I'm saying at least 90% of people that are connected to with greater social conscience and social networks, they get it, and it's a choice whereby either we all unite in the spirit of common sense, universal love, or by default, one suffers the sense of separation that feels alone rather than all one. So 2012 was the year that the family of man sparked with the Thrive Movement, the Arab Spring, the Tea Party Movement, and the Occupy Wall Street movement that we're all waking up, wising up, and rising up against the oppressive tyranny of the plutocrat banksters who have created, owned, and operated the corrupt economic system of Wall Street for the masses. Ever since that oxymoron of self-contradiction was crafted to milk the light of the masses, it has afflicted, you might say, increasingly our wealth, our health, and our good conscience. Now that's, you know, that's saying quite a lot, and I'm really kind of trying to take the bull by the horns here and taking it back to, you know, the whole intent of civility is, you might say, the culturing of good conscience. That is, James Madison, the chief architect of the Constitution, said, conscience is the most sacred of all property. So consider how Wall Street has become a self-evident, self-sabotaging, self-contradiction that has finally impoverished us all. And here's the reasons for this. I'm going to kind of, you know, take, when I say the bull by the horns, the Wall Street bull. The rules of Wall Street are simple. Stockholders come before the public. This is number one. Stockholders come before the public whenever profits are at stake. That's corporate law. So Wall Street is dominated by corporations in collusion to optimize their profits, in collusion largely, you know, big business with big government. And so it's basically a self-serving economy of, by, and for the corporatocracy, not of, by, and for the people, the purpose for which representative self-government was established. And you can see the graphic if you're following along with the copy of the article. You see the graphic there of the Supreme Court. And And more than half of the chief justices are emblazoned with the emblems of the corporations like race car drivers. And that's to make the point that, you know, this is what's happened. And we've seen this deeply entrenched in government policies since the Supreme Court's decision to confer personhood to impersonal corporatocracy. And that's the point. We've now got, rather than a republic with democratic principles, we've got a corporatocracy whose first law is corporate law, that stockholders come before the public whenever profits are at stake. And that's nothing personal. It's just organized greed. And we're talking about not just little corporations. I'm talking about the giant corporations whose special interest is a vested interest to own and control their markets. And we're talking about big energy, big oil, big media, big government, you know. And when I say their markets, you know, they're all kind of in collusion to where profits come before people. And because of that, we see, you know, gridlock. We see the fiscal cliff. So, number two, you know, these rules of Wall Street, gentlemen prefer monopoly. I mean, the banksters and their minions own and control Wall Street and want to monopolize their social, political, and economic institutions for their own profit and power. And we've seen how the banking industry has been privatized with the Federal Reserve. The medical industrial complex has been privatized by owners and controllers. The media has been largely privatized, you know, by giant corporations. So these giant corporations, you know, basically are running the show. And this has happened since the worst robber barons of 100 years ago secretly met on Jekyll Island and crafted the Federal Reserve banking system was then owned by them. And they also crafted the IRS legislation as a way to collect money from the public to pay the interest on all the loans made to the public treasury by these banksters. Well, in 2013, I'm sure there will be some serious discussions to end the privatized Fed and forgive their debt monopoly with the next economy, as optimizes the abundant life by upgrading the currency of conscience at the heart of our core constitutional freedoms. And that's a loaded concept right there, and I provided some links to go into different aspects of what that will look like. So number three, back to Wall Street rules, intrigue and treachery comes gradually. The IRS was approved with a 1% income tax that increased very little over many years until World War I, when it jumped dramatically to pay the government loans made to war industries. And this gave birth to the military bankster complex that has made a killing ever since, with endless wars, skyrocketing taxes, and a debt crisis now from a U.S. defense budget that's larger than all the countries of the world combined. I was reading that again recently, and it just kind of stuck, you know. I mean, I've read it repeatedly over the last several years, that it's got to the point where the U.S. defense budget is larger than all the countries, the defense budgets of all the countries of the world. So in 2013, I see the banksters falling over the fiscal cliff they created. And United Sovereigns will increasingly demand reconciliation that returns power from Wall Street to Main Street worldwide. I mean, the international banksters, whether you're talking about, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank, I mean, they're tied in with the Rothschilds, the banking systems of Europe, and they affect the economy worldwide. So this has come to a point, and there's been a turning point this last year, and you see it on all kinds of social networks, with this awareness of what this issue is with the Federal Reserve banksters, these new robber barons, you know, that never went away. They just basically legalized theft. So, fourth point of what's going on with Wall Street and the rules of Wall Street is that the plagues that we're seeing now are profitable for the pathological parasite banksters. I mean, this sounds crazy, but those who have made a killing on the creation and treatment of disease are, of course, the same economic incentives to make a killing on the creation and management of endless war. And you've got pathological policies now in America that are even outlawed in Europe, like the fluoridation of public water and GMOs that are undisclosed in public food, and chemtrails poisoning the air. I mean, they're still doing the chemtrails in Europe, but they've outlawed most of Europe GMOs, genetically modified foods, and fluoridated water supplies. But this will be increasingly exposed as the cause of an explosion of disease plagues and more public debt from government subsidies of the backwards medical industrial corporatocracy that sees 16 times more profit from a pound of drug or chemo treatment than an ounce of prevention. In other words, the medical industrial complex and the Wall Street connection there is that there's a profiting from the creation and management of disease. And the banksters profit because they're subsidizing government, Medicare, Medicaid. They're subsidizing Big Pharma with the drugs that are provided with Medicare and Medicaid. They subsidize. That increases debt, and we pay more taxes for that. You know, and this is what's brought us to this point of the fiscal cliff. Well, what is that? Well, we're treating symptoms rather than causes. We're treating a disease rather than preventing it. All the incentives with Wall Street are the treatment of disease rather than its prevention. So this is insanity. It's reached a point where it's bankrupting the economy because it's bankrupt the values. It's self-destructive. It's self-sabotaging. And we've come to a point in the collective consciousness where the fiscal cliff, if you connect the dots, it's a choice between, war and peace, between disease and health in the collective consciousness. I mean, really, if you boil it down, we can have peace on Earth. There are ways to do that. You know, it's like less war, more peace, and there are ways to create a culture of civility for that purpose. So in 2013, I see common sense, unity, conscience, the concepts of people, wising up to this moral compass of war and disease prevention as a virtue that will become more common as the opportunity, in the case of healthcare, for the public option of informed choice with universal self-care exposes the healthcare system for what it is. Now, universal self-care, I provide a link on that. There's a whole article, in-depth article, of what that will look like in terms of everyone on the Internet worldwide will be able to access databases that will provide gateways for their metabolic type, which is their blood type, and they'll go in, and then for their current symptom profile, they'll be able to look at what modalities are working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, or some eclectic combination, whether, individual modalities or combination of modalities, what's working best for build health and prevent disease or to treat disease. And that can be an empirical results-based database so that people that are using the system worldwide can enter results back into the system so it becomes more self-evident what's working best. It's really kind of a common sense with the technology that's available, but the only reason it hasn't happened is because we don't have a healthcare system. We have a disease care system that profits from disease, and there's no money in health, just like there's no money in peace for the military-industrial complex. There's no money in health for the medical industrial complex, which is really bigger than the military industrial complex. And recently I've had an article, actually it's my last article on my website before this, the one that's up there now that I'm going through. There was an article that goes into the healthcare system. And what we're looking at with the opportunity for building health with preventive protocols, going back to, when I say preventive protocol, health building protocols, going back to Royal Raymond Rife, what is in the 30s, back in the 30s, I believe it was, there's a video I provide there. And you can watch that documentary of how he was curing cancers and all of his patients in the 30s using. He was the one that pioneered the first microscope, high-powered microscope, that could look at cancer cells. And he found out which frequencies will shatter the cancer cell membranes and cure cancer. And he would do that first, but he'd take the cancer from his patients, and he would culture those cancers from biopsies into his pet rats, and they would develop the cancers, and then, you know, he would, when he biopsied them into the rats, they would develop these cancers, and then he would look at those cancer cells under the microscope, find out which frequencies with a frequency generator, like a signal generator, he put that into, and this is back in the 30s, and he would find out what frequencies shattered those cancer cells, and then he would go back to his patients and use those frequencies and clear them of cancer in their bodies. Now, how many millions of people have died in the United States in the 30s because the paradigm of medicine is the chemistry of disease rather than the energies of health? So, basically, we're talking about a ruthless, self-serving insanity of disease profiteering in America with toxic genetic altering drugs and vaccines that rely on, you know, the only way you can, you know, that people really heal from this toxic onslaught inside their bodies, which, you know, basically going in with the idea that you've got an enemy in your body and we're going to kill it with toxic drugs rather than hopefully before it wipes out the immune system and kills you. I mean, that's the principle in chemotherapy in particular, but in drugs and vaccines in general. The reason that the drugs and vaccines aren't even more deadly is because of the placebo effect, the belief in them. It's like the belief in the religion of modern medicine and the high priests with their drug sacraments. I mean, it's gotten so bad that death by doctor is now the fourth most common cause of death in America. So that's, you know, that's something to consider. Anyway, the more this all goes back to the banking system, that actually more debt that's created for the medical industrial complex and the subsidizing of this medical industrial complex with government loans, the more debt, then the more taxes are paid for through the IRS to pay the interest on the loans, pay the interest on the debt. So the more the Fed creates money out of thin air to loan to the government for war and reconstruction or for creation and treatment of disease, you know, subsidizing the pathological, military, medical, industrial complex, the less peace, the less freedom the public has. And the more the IRS has to collect for the psychopathic, parasitic bankers. Banksters. I'm not being really nice to the banksters here, but I'm basically trying to cut through all the BS and get to the straight skinny on the deep doo-doo. What are we looking at as far as waking up, wising up, and rising up in 2013, you know, make a difference, if not the difference? I mean, this is the problem why many people can't imagine a future much different from the present. It's like the more things change, the more that normalcy bias resists and resents the unfamiliar. Now, normalcy bias, and I provide a link on that from Wikipedia, that's quite a story on how people adapt to the way things are as being normal. And they resist and resent change from the normal, even if the normal is a sick norm. Like a military medical industrial complex that's virtually killing us, that's then making a killing in the process. And I mean, that may fulfill the agenda of the power elite to reduce population or control population with fluoride, you know, that blocks the pineal gland to where people, you know, are just clueless as to what's going on. Like Hitler used fluoride in the concentration camps and fluoridating cities, you know, to make people docile. But this is what I'm talking about. It becomes normal to where people, what becomes normal for people that are like for fluoridated, for example, is that they're clueless, basically slave to a system and glad of it. You know, they wave the flag and, you know, sing patriotic songs. So latent fears of the unknown, you know, this thing with normalcy bias, has surfaced big time in 2012 with end-of-the-world movies like the blockbuster movie 2012. And so these fears of what's coming, you know, with earth changes or whatever, you know, the public becomes covertly terrorized, numb, and dumb, suffering what's called future shock. And I provide a link on that. That's quite a story. That it's understanding of future shock becomes like normalcy bias that surrenders autonomy for a mainstream psychology of subservience to tyranny. So in my copy, if you're reading along or if you have a chance to get to this point, some of you probably know the brilliant filmmaker Oliver Stone, won the Academy Award. I can't remember for which work he did, but what he has to say regarding the 2012 tyranny tactics that the mainstream media mind control matrix is complicit in maintaining in America. And he has some very interesting things to say about that. And I think the caption on that video that I've got embedded in that copy is that Oliver Stone tears apart Obama's empire. Basically, what's going on, he goes into. And to kind of sum that up, you might say that the collective consciousness of Americans is and people worldwide have suffered a kind of PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, since 9/11. And because of that, they've tolerated unpatriotic patriot acts with rapid erosion of core constitutional freedoms by way of unlimited surveillance, indefinite detention, torture, and targeted assassinations that include kill lists for drone attacks killing foreign citizens as collateral damage. That's the horrible thing about it, you know. So the war on terror has been exposed as an agenda to demoralize the public, to numb us and dumb us, you might say, and demoralize us. And instead of liberating our spirits, it has made us all victims of terror. And that's become endless terror war. It's become like a pathological paradigm paralysis that it's become, you know, this normalcy bias. People have adapted to that as some kind of a norm. So instead of fearless faith and moral principles that neutralize faithless fear, endless war insanity has bankrupted largely the core currency of conscience. And the consequence is that many people just can't imagine a future different from the past. Common sense, in terms of enlightened sensory perception or effective sensory perception or ESP, is just... It's too uncommon. Common sense has become so uncommon, and the most powerful special interests in the world have a vested interest in keeping it that way. So you might say there's nothing more evil than the mission creep of big government that has merged with big business for this to form the corporatocracy that gives us an Orwellian Big Brother plot out of hell, subservience to evil, that is even more insidious because it has increasingly become normal, quote unquote normal. Now, I've kind of, you know, come around to this written about this recently. And if you read the recent articles I've got up on my archives and my weblog, the article on 12-12-12, prelude to the 12-21 solstice report, with understanding of what happened on the solstice, that gives pretty much the big picture of what we're talking about as far as the first sparking this last year of the Aquarian dispensation with freedom movements worldwide, all kinds of freedom movements, like I say, from the Thrive movement to the Tea Party movement to the Occupy Wall Street movement. These different movements are like an awakening movement. It's a sparking of collective consciousness. And where is this going? So, I mean, what's 2013? What's the spirit, the Aquarian spirit of freedom and opportunity? What is this spark as far as our divine destiny? Where is it going? So, this is where I try to, my interest, my pure intention is some thoughts on the conscious evolution and rapid deployment of a golden age on Earth, what that will look like, how that will work. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is one of my favorite poets, and he has this poem, this little ditty that goes, "Kind hearts are the gardens, kind thoughts are the roots. Kind words are the flowers, and kind deeds are the fruits." Well, I really believe that the spark of freedom and opportunity that is being ignited for a new common sense, unity, conscience of united sovereigns of Earth will basically provide an upgrade concept of what Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was saying when he was like the epitome, you might say, of the grace and the spirit of the Piscean dispensation, the good aspects of it. And as we move into Aquarius, when he says kind hearts are the gardens, that's another way of referencing heart coherence, the gardens. Heart coherence is coherence with source, the source field, the quantum field. It's the frequency of holy compassion. It's really the frequency of coherence with the heart of creator, of creation, in the source field, the Taurus field, on an atomic level to galactic level, from the heart chakra. There is a frequency of heart coherence that is virtually the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. And it is, you might say, the frequency of kindness. Kind hearts are the gardens. And I really believe that the computer internet revolution that is now connecting global humanity will evolve with heart coherence biofeedback applications that you can actually buy for $18 now through Dan Winter, as an application for iPad, iPhone, and you will actually know when you are in the frequency of heart coherence. And this can be true for an entire social network that's real-time, interactive. You will know, you'll be able to know who is or who is not. I mean, you have to participate, and you might say cooperate with that standard of heart coherence being accepted. And this is the future of social conscience and social networks, heart coherence. So kind hearts are the gardens, and he says kind thoughts are the roots. Now, that concept of kind thoughts are the roots, mind coherence with, you might say, the law of the angles, the language, the law of the angles is like the angles of God or the geometrically ordered divinity, the fractal order of the universe. This understanding of congruence, mind congruence in the left brain, like heart coherence in the right brain, so that the left and the right are coordinated and cooperating with the best of both worlds, coherence and congruence with the language of the angels, heart coherence, and the law of the angles, of God, geometric ordered divinity, the order of the universe, the fractal order of the holographic universe. I've gone into this in more detail in my previous articles, so this is shorthand, but kind thoughts are the roots. We're talking about cultural DNA and hardware and the concept, the next big thing in the computer internet revolution after hardware, software, and netware, you know, when all the computers started to network together worldwide. Now, the next big thing will be hardware, which is not just mind congruence, but heart coherence. I mean, think about this. In India right now, they're selling tablets, you know, like the iPad, for $20. So anyone can have a window to the world or the collective conscience of a social network, and people will be able to create a video on their iPad, for example, that they can share in a social network. People can watch that on a real-time basis, evaluate that with this concept of mind congruence with this hardware model, which is the language of consciousness, as will evolve social conscience and social networks. And the standard for that will be heart coherence, which is, like I say, can be a little application, can be an application on that $20 tablet, whereby they can know when their social network is in the frequency of holy compassion or heart coherence, which is really coherence with source. The understanding of coherence is a function of the resonant frequencies of the unified source field, how we co-create with God, love, source. Now, that's kind of an abstract concept, but, you know, this is where it gets good. I mean, as Longfellow said, kind words are the flowers. So this co-creation of heart coherence and mind congruence in the left brain and the right brain of our individual and collective consciousness is co-creating with the creator, source. And the decree is the spirit of love and action, whereby kind deeds are the fruits. So culturing civilization with civility, with the frequency of holy compassion, and the mind congruence that integrates the upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, you might say, the 3D holographic field between your ears with this language of light of consciousness that is the hardware model that I go into and my websites, is really a vision of more light, balance, checks and balances on our individual and collective consciousness, the way that involves and evolves conscience, which is, might say, the capstone to the pyramid of self and civilization. So heart coherence is the emotional intelligence, you might say EQ instead of IQ, of the right brain, one's nonlinear spherical consciousness for discernment of spirits, of the spirit of the language of the angels of our better nature. At the heart of the left brain's linear letter of the law that frames, the, you might say, the first principles of intention, attention, retention, and ascension in the soul's dimension of co-creation with God, love, source on earth as it is in the universe at large. Now, I'm going through shorthand frames of reference that I've fleshed out with multiple websites. As you read previous articles, I go into this in a lot more depth, but the concept then of mind congruence as a complementary co-creation with heart coherence. The concept of mind congruence is the more information we have, the greater is the need to get it all in order. Organizing information in formation along more enlightened lines that frames one universal love with the language of the angels, heart coherence, and the common law of the angles of God, the geometric ordered divinity at the heart of our universal co-creation with God, love, source. Carl Jung has a quote where he says, if you have nothing at all to create, then perhaps you create yourself. Well, that's what I'm talking about when I reference universal co-creation. With the understanding of an instant everywhere interactive global village, you know, the family of man in a global village, we're all connected, and we're beginning to communicate, to co-create with the first principles of the language of the angels and the law of the angels, heart coherence, mind congruence. So there are four complementary ways of looking at the immediate future, 2013, in the way that will most likely co-create a golden age on Earth. Logically, it would fulfill the divine destiny that is Earth's golden age. And obviously, what goes around comes around to the spirit that matters. And verily, the higher the gold standard of love, the greater the results. Enthusiastically, the vision of virtue and valor claims the victory, universal love, what that looks like, cosmic love, and the full breadth and depth of cosmic love, co-creation with source, you know, co-creation with the spirit that matters. So we're really talking about, you know, the old classic with vision that people thrive, the Thrive Movement. That was what was the whole spirit of the Thrive Movement that really began in the beginning of 2012, with vision that people thrive. And that Thrive Movement video, if you click on the link, it's free. Just go to thrivemovement.com. It's breathtaking in the terms of this is the vision. You know, I mean, it's an extraordinary effort to raise the standard of a vision whereby not just free energy technology, but a healing of the healthcare system and a virtual abundance for a golden age on Earth. And in the process, they expose brilliantly the banksters, the top of this, of you know, the problem. You know, and they've kind of usurped the capstone when the capstone should be the currency of conscience. God, love, conscience, source, conscience, etc. So 2012 has proven to be an extraordinary time of mass awakening. New social conscience is emerging in global social networks, and many people are now aware that the system is not just corrupt, but also bankrupt of the morality needed to self-correct and heal. In response to these defects, new models of wholeness for healing are emerging with patterns of perfection as will define and refine new social, political, and economic institutions as will naturally make the status quo model of terror, war, disease, and death for profit and power obsolete. Now, Buckminster Fuller, who I studied with, said that you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. So there's three areas of systemic change that will combine synergistically to reboot civilization on Earth, the characteristics of a global golden age. Number one, all problems are at heart communication problems, how we come into unity with local and global comm, unity, telecommunity capabilities that fulfill the potential of the computer internet revolution and witness that potential, seize the vision to make it so. And there's more links there that go into that vision. Number two, universal self-care can now define golden age healthcare. And the vision alone can provide the catalyst for change that makes healthcare accountable to the purpose it was created to serve all people worldwide. That's possible now. So embrace the virtue to make it so. Number three, the potential for a golden age economics of abundance makes the oxymoronic value of scarcity economics obsolete. And the gold standard for the currency of conscience naturally will check and balance the bankrupt policies causing austerity. Commit with valor to make it so. So that pretty much says it. Always love. Imagineering a vision of virtue and valor for the victory of cosmic love, whereby pure intention, focused attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in the soul's dimension of eternal progression will make it so. So God bless everyone in the new year. Thanks for listening. Blessings to you and yours. Happy trails till we meet again. I look forward to speaking with you in the new year. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity, as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.